Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves on the top of Lamud Bet Amud Aleph, that's 32a, and it is the last daf and the last amud of this Masechta. We have two more recordings, this one and the following one, and we should finish the tractate. We are on the top line of Lamud Bet Amud Aleph. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing are various aspects of Torah reading. In our previous recording, we were discussing the reading on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbat afternoons. And in the context of that, we had a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So we bring another machloket about Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda now related to Torah reading. And this question is, when someone is called up to the Torah, what is the exact procedure? Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Poteach, when he's called up to the Torah, he opens up the Torah so that the script is visible, V'ro'eh, and he sees the place, Golel, then he closes it, Umvarech, makes the bracha on the Torah, v'chozeru poteach, and then he, after the bracha, he opens up the Torah again, v'korei, and he reads, divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says he opens it, closes it, and opens it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, poteach, he opens up the Torah, v'roeh, looks, sees his place, umvarech, makes the bracha, v'korei, and he reads. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to close the Torah during the bracha. You can just leave the Torah open while you say the bracha and then read from it. So while Rabbi Meir says you have to open it, close it, and open it, Rabbi Yehuda says you just have to open it once. My time under Rabbi Meir, what is the reasoning that Rabbi Meir says you have to close the Torah during the blessing? Kide'ula, like Ula, de'amar Ula, as Ula says, mipnei ma amru hakore batorah lo yisayeya limiturgeman. What is the reason why they say that the one who reads in the Torah should not help the translator? Let's say the way they used to read it in Talmudic times was they would read one verse in the Torah in Hebrew, and then they had someone who would read the Aramaic translation so that the people would understand what was being read. So let's say the translator was having a hard time, was stumbling over the words, or didn't know what the word was. So the Torah reader might help him out and say the Aramaic word that he was looking for. So we said that the Torah reader should not do that. The Torah reader should read the Torah, and the Meturgeman should do the translation. Why? Kidei shelo yomru targum katub b'Torah. In order that one shouldn't say that the translation, that the Aramaic, is written in the Torah, because if the Torah reader is saying the Aramaic, it sounds like he's reading it out of the Torah. Hachanami, here too, kidei shelo yomru brachot ketuvim b'Torah. We don't want ignorant people to say that the blessings are written in the Torah. So if he opens the Torah and he looks into the Torah as he says the blessings, people will think that the blessings are written in the Torah when they are not. And it is a form of falsifying the Torah or giving people the wrong impression about the Torah. The only thing that should be read out of the Torah, which must be read out of the Ksav, is the Torah reading itself. Rabbi Yehuda, what about Rabbi Yehuda? Why isn't he concerned about that? Targum ikal lemite. There may be reason to make a mistake about the Aramaic translation. After all, it's the same information as the Torah reading. It's a translation of the Torah reading. But brachot, but the blessings, leka lemite. There's no reason to worry that people will think the blessings are written in the Torah. It's not the same topic as what's, you know, it's not the same material as what's written in the Torah. So they won't make a mistake. So Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that. So Tosfos talks about this at the end of the Tosfos Golo, which we didn't get to yet, but he mentions it at the end. And he says, L'chatchila, hu golulo v'sotmo kodim shivarech. He says, L'chatchila, one should close it up before they make the blessing, so that people shouldn't say that the brachos are written in there. But b'diavad, but secondarily, ein lachush, there's no reason to worry. Shari lo shchichi amei haaretz kol kach ata. People who are ignorant these days are not so many of them, and they're not as ignorant as the ones in their days, so we're not so concerned about. But he says, but after reading, one should definitely close. According to all opinions, after the reading, you close the Torah before you make the second set of blessings. People nowadays try to balance both of these opinions, and they leave the Torah open, but they look, they read the blessings from, let's say, a card or a sheet that's next to the Torah, so they're clearly looking outside the Torah when they say the blessings, or they look aside. If you've ever seen people do that, they open the Torah, but they turn their face to the side, so it's clear that they're not reading from inside the Torah. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir says, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Amar Rav Matna, in the name of Rav Matna, Halacha poteach v'ro'eh u'mevarech v'koreh. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have to close it, but since they want to honor Rabbi Meir's opinion, that's why they look away. V'leima halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't you just say the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, which is, as we saw in the previous discussion, he could, instead of stating the whole halacha, mishum da'afki lehu, because there was some confusion about which opinion is Rabbi Yehuda's and which one is Rabbi Meir. Some people flipped them. So instead of saying the name, which might lead to more confusion, he specified what the halacha was, that the halacha is, which is according to the opinion that we cited above in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, they only have to open it once. Okay, we are now 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12 lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Matna. We just learned the halacha from Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rabbi Matna, so we have another teaching with that from that duo. And it is related to a topic that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Haluchot v'habimot ein bahem mishum kedusha. We had been talking earlier in the tractate about which things have sanctity and what level sanctity they have. So these two objects, Luchot and Bimot, do not have sanctity according to Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rabbi Matna. The only problem is we're not really very clear about what they are. Luchot, which means boards or tables or tablets, Rashi says, Lo yadati mahein, I don't know what they are. Not sure what they are. He says some people interpret that they are the covers of books, meaning they used to have, he says they had scrolls, but then they started to have books or codexes. So perhaps the luchot were the covers of the codexes, like let's say the cover of a chumash, that does not have sanctity. The Rambam says that these were teaching boards that they used for children, that they practice their lessons on. So you might think that because they were like, a board that was used for Torah, that it had sanctity. But since they were just for teaching the children lessons, I guess when they taught them in the shuls, that they do not have sanctity. The Tosafot brings another opinion from the Aruch, that the luchot are sections of parchment that are not written on. Either they're above or below, or sections that are in between columns of writing, especially if those sections are cut out. If they trim the Sefer Torah by removing some blank areas of parchment, that those blank areas of parchment, those luchot, those strips of or tables of parchment, do not have sanctity. So it's very unclear what they are. The bimot, also unclear what they are. We have something we call a bima, which is a raised platform in the middle of the shul, and this could be what it is, coming from the book of Ezra, where we see that when they read the Torah, they had constructed some kind of a platform on which the Torah would be read from. And that's how Rambam says it. He says a bima is the place she'omeid aleih hamashliach tzibur, that the leader of the congregation stands there, v'oches ha-sefer, and holds the Torah. So it's some kind of a raised platform. And Rashi only refers to the platform that was made, for the king, Parshat HaMelech, as it mentions in the Gemara and Sota. So it is some kind of a platform, but unclear exactly what it is. Okay, we now are going to begin a series of five teachings in the name of Reb Shvatia, in the name of Reb Yochanan. So we have five teachings of Reb Shvatia. We're going to do the first four of them in this recording, and we'll do the last one in our final recording for the tractate. And they are all related, they're mostly related to Torah reading. There's one that's an outlier. Okay. Amar Reb Shvatia, Amar Reb Yochanan. Reb Shvatia said in the name of Reb Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah, when one is rolling a Sefer Torah. Now, when we use the word golel before, it meant to roll it so as to close it. Here it means to, what we mean by when we usually say golel, which is to roll it from one place to another. If you're in Breishit and the Torah reading is in Vayikra, you have to be golel it from Breishit to Vayikra. Now, ordinarily, you're supposed to do this not in shul. The gabbais are supposed to do it before shul because having everyone wait while you're golel the Sefer Torah is considered a tircha de tzibura. But here, it's not 100% clear that what we're talking about is in shul. It's just saying, in general, when you come to be golel the Sefer Torah, tzarich she'yamidenu al hatfar, you should set it up on a seam. And you'll notice most people do this when they do Hagbah, that when you lift up the Torah, most people, before they lift up the Torah, they arrange it so that they're at a seam. And the way the Torah works is there are sheets of parchment that are sewn together. Every number of columns of script, you have two pieces of parchment that are sewn together. And those are the areas that it should be on. And the reason for that is that if for some reason it gets pulled very hard, instead of ripping the parchment, it will hopefully come apart on the seam and then it can just be reattached. Okay, that's the first teaching. The Amar of Shvatya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shvatya said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, HaGolel Sefer Torah, a person who's rolling the Sefer Torah from one place to another, Golelo Mibachutz, Ve'ein Golelo Mibifnim. He should roll it from the outside and not roll it from the inside. U'chashuhu Mahadko, and when he fastens it, when he tightens it up again, Mahadko Mibifnim, he should tighten it from the inside and he should not tighten it from the outside. So this is assuming that you're rolling the Torah by yourself. Now, the way I would do it is I would put it on a bima, and I would roll it, you know, from one hand to the other hand. But this is assuming that you don't have a table, and you're rolling it on your lap. So when you're rolling it, you should roll it from the far roller, so that it doesn't look like, so that it doesn't look disrespectful to the Torah. That you were rolling it towards yourself, and also that if you were to roll it outwards, Rashi says that you could end up with a lot of parchment and it could like sort of flop onto the floor. And then the opposite, when you come to fasten it, to tighten it, you should tighten it pulling it the other way. That's the second teaching of Rabbi Shvatya. Va'amar Rabbi Shvatya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shvatya says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Asara Shekaru BaTorah, 10 people are reading the Torah. This doesn't mean that all 10 are reading the Torah, but it means that you have a minyan, because you need a minimum of 10 people in order to read the Torah. So you have 10, you have a minyan that's reading the Torah. Hagadol Shabaham, the greatest one among them, Golel Sefer Torah. He's the one that should do Glila. Now here is a third meaning of the word Golel. The first time we used the word Golel, it meant to close the Torah right, you know, when you're done reading it. The second time it meant to roll it from place to place. And this third time means after you finish reading the Torah, when after you do Hagbah, you have someone who is Golel the Sefer Torah. That is, they close it up. So it's similar to closing the Torah, but it is at the end of the whole Torah reading, to roll it up so that it can be put away. So here we say that the greatest one is the one who should be given glila. The final act of closing the Torah should be done by the person who is the gadol shebahen. Gemara goes on to cite a teaching: Hagolulo, the one who does glila, notel schar kulan. He takes the merit of all of the aliyahs, all the people that were called up to the Torah. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Asara shekaru batorah, 10 people are reading the Torah, Hagolo sefer Torah kibel schar kulam. The one who does glila receives the reward of them all. Schar kulan salkadatach, he gets the reward of all of them, you were thinking. And the question of the Gemara is, why shouldn't they get their own reward? After all, they went up and made a blessing on the Torah and they read from the Torah. Why does he get their reward? But rather, I would say, kibel schar keneged kulan. He gets the amount of reward. He gets a higher amount of reward than the others do. So the guy that does Rishon and Sheni and Shlishi, they get a certain amount of reward, and the guy who does Glila gets the amount of Rishon, Sheni, and Shlishi all combined. That's what it says. That the one who finishes gets the highest amount of reward. Generally, nowadays, Glila is not considered to be the greatest kibud. Although people did used to tell me that. They say, oh, Galila is the best kibud because of this. Usually, the aliyahs are considered a higher kibud. Hagba, they usually give to the strong guys. And Galila, they often give to people who are not yet bar mitzvah, which seems to go against this Gemara, which would say that you should give it to the greatest among them. These are not only are they not great, they're not even gedolim, they're katanim, they're minors. So it could be that the glila that they meant here, it referred actually to a final aliyah, and the person who did the final aliyah was the one who did glila, in which case it's a fundamentally different proposition from the way that we do it. But it is an interesting question, halacha l'maaseh. Okay, we'll stop there. We have one more recording to finish the Masechta. Have a wonderful day.